Father, for such a time as this, you brought us to this place. Father, you've positioned us in the earth for the days we're living in to bring glory and honor to your name.
Yes.
And Lord, we purpose in our heart. We'll not take the name of the Lord in vain, but Lord, we will bring glory and honor to your name by the power of the Holy Ghost that raised Christ from the dead dwells within us. Father, may we continue to trust in you, Lord, and to rely upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not ourselves, not our own ability, but in you, not our own thinking, but your word, your revelation. Father, we open our heart to the Holy Spirit's ministry today to receive from you, to receive your word. Father, may we be strengthened and edified as a people. May everyone hear the word of the Lord that would speak to them today, specifically to them, their need, and to where they're at. And we thank you, Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I've been sitting on this word for a couple weeks, so it's just fermenting on the inside of me. That means it's going to come out stronger. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I want to share with you when the battle comes. You know, sometimes you're not looking for a fight or for a battle, but it comes to you. And you have to know what to do and to win that fight. 2 Chronicles 20 speaks to that. It says, it came to pass, verse 1, after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea or this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the city of Judah came they to seek the Lord. Let's stop here for a moment. We're going to get through this chapter. But it speaks of Judah being surrounded by enemies who were purposing to destroy Israel. Now, I'd share with you a few weeks ago a message from Revelation 12 where we saw that Satan, as he recognized that Christ would come through Israel, he purposed to destroy Israel. He has a hatred for Israel because the Christ came through Israel, through the covenant that God made with Israel, and he used Israel to be a prophetic witness and a testimony and an expression of the Christ to come in his fullness. God had Israel dispersed where she was dispersed throughout the whole earth, and Satan then set his sights upon the church, or the seed of the woman. The seed being the church of Jesus Christ, those who believe upon and obey his name. And to this day, there is great persecution. It's one of the tactics of the enemy to try to destroy the word of God from the lives of people and to steal the glory of God and to take it unto himself. So we are in a time of war since the advent of Christ. Now, when it comes in the natural, Jesus said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, not to be troubled about that. He leaves us peace. We can have victory through it all. We're more than conquerors. But it's going to be war. It's one of the things Satan uses, whether it's like a declared war nation to nation or a war against a people group or against anything of God. Now, we are in the height of spiritual warfare in the days we're living in. We are in a time of war. You can't live like it's not going on. Otherwise, you'll be destroyed. If you try to pretend it's not there, you will be destroyed. We have to be able to deal with this. It's interesting. I was talking with Brother Dale recently, and of course, he spent a great deal of time in Ukraine and advocating for the Ukrainian, for the church there more than anything, but also for the people to be able to stand and fight and hold their ground there against the attack. But something he shared with me, he said, people here talk about, oh, we don't want to enter into war. He said, the reality is, this is what I was interested in, his perspective of the reality, we're already at war. And Putin talks about it all the time, every day. He's already declared war against us. Just because our government will not recognize that doesn't mean it's not so. We're already at war. Now, it's somewhat of a proxy war at this point. But ultimately, he'll do whatever it takes to try to win. And thus, we need to have the same approach. We're already at war. Same with Iran and the demon spirits that are coming out from the Middle East Arab Muslim countries, which from the very beginning, they set themselves to persecute Abraham. And it's all listed there. And these nations have come out of these tribes that were there at that point. And it's all going on today, a couple thousand years later. There's a war in the natural, and there's a war in the spirit. So for Israel, they can't just pretend there's peace, like some people would like to believe, foolish people, ignorant people. They have no clue about reality and what's going on. There is a warfare. Now, the good news is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are victorious in Him. That's the good news. Now, as you hear the bad news, you have to hear the good news, lest your heart be troubled. And thereby you can have peace if we'll lay hold of the good news that Jesus already conquered the one we're at war with, which is Satan and all his demonic forces. He already beat them. But it's incumbent upon us to lay hold of the truth and to manifest the victory in the earth, thus glorifying God. Now, again, I want to say you can't pretend this isn't there and just say, well, I'll just have my little thing over here on the side and act like it's not there. It's there. It's real. Embrace it. Because there's victory for us through it all. Hallelujah. Well, verse 3 is key. It says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, when a battle comes and to your doorstep, whatever kind of battle it is, whether it's demonic attack, whether it's a battle for your mind, whether it's your health, whether it's financial, family relationships being divided, whatever it might be, we need to set ourselves to seek the Lord. We need the answer from God. We need directed by Him. This is imperative. If we don't do this, what he did in verse 3, we're not going to be able to do what comes later. We won't be able to walk out into the victory. We need to hear from God. You can't just do what man says. You will be destroyed that way. Because man might have good intentions, but without the knowledge of the will of God, it's going to be fruitless, pointless. And a lot of people, out of their laziness or their living a life that's not putting Him first, they want someone just tell them what to do. And they don't want the responsibility then of the decision and say, you tell me what to do. Oh, it didn't work out, I'll sue you. I told the doctor this earlier this week. I said, listen, I'm not looking for you to tell me what to do. In fact, you try to tell me what to do, I'm going to dig my heels in. Create understanding. Create light. Help me to understand so I can go before God and find the truth of His will for me. And then I'll stand and I'll own it. I'm going to own my decision. I'm not putting it on you. So you don't have to be afraid of me that you got to protect yourself from a lawsuit. You speak truth to me. You talk to doctors that way? Well, sometimes. I'm not trying to be ignorant or anything, but if they ask me certain questions, I'm going to tell them, well, here's what I believe. Here's the truth. Don't just tell me what to do. Give me understanding. If you can help me understand that I can come before God and now own my decision, I'll own it. You've got to own your decisions. If you look to a man to tell you what to do, then you're going to blame them when something doesn't work out right. No, it's on you. You own your decisions. Take responsibility. And that begins with seeking the Lord out of a respect and a reverence. Said fear, he feared God, not like he's afraid God's going to kill him. That's not how that word's being used, but out of a reverence and respect. God is the truth. He knows the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I need to hear from him. When the battle comes to me, more than anything else, here's what I know. I need to hear from him. So to set himself and fast is to position yourself to hear from him. So you begin by getting in position to hear from him. You take in a military battle, like with what Israel just was going through, can use as an example. They called their armies together like this. And some were saying, well, they aren't doing anything yet. They're positioning themselves to develop a strategy, to know to enter into that fight in a unity and with purpose, and to know they're doing the right thing, because there's many ways you could go about something like that. You can go into battle, and history has proven this. There's been times there's great and large armies, and they're destroyed because they go in with the wrong strategy. We need to know what to do. So the people gathered together to ask help of the Lord. It's not just a matter of crisis, coming out of crisis, but rather they were submitted to the leadership of Jehoshaphat. They recognized him as a man of God who was a good king. And he was led and directed by the king. So as he brought forth the direction that we need to position ourselves to hear from God, they followed in that. The virtue is not in not eating food. The virtue is to eliminate every distraction and with all your being focus on him. Hearing from him, beholding him. In the beholding of him, your faith can rise to walk out that which he would show you to do. They gather together to ask help. So he stands in the midst of them in the house of the Lord. Now, verse 6 for a few verses shows Jehoshaphat praying. And there are three things I want to point out here about his prayer. The first, verse 6. O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the heathen. And in your hand is there not power and might, so there's none able to withstand thee. He acknowledges who God is. He is the Almighty. He is powerful. See, that's where his hope begins. God, your power can bring victory here. Even though I'm facing being outnumbered by these nations, your power is more than enough. You are the God of all power, the God who created the heavens and the earth. Your power. So he acknowledges who God is. Verse 7, art thou now our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? He acknowledges what God did He's redeemed us. Jesus, by his shed blood, paid the price to redeem us from sin. He defeated death. He conquered Satan. Just as he conquered Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a type and shadow of the devil. And he conquered him. He defeated him. So what he did for us is the second thing. And then he begins to acknowledge the situation and the problem. And they dwelt therein and have built a sanctuary therein, saying, for thy name, if when evil comes upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and thou wilt hear us and help. In other words, no matter how the battle's coming at me, the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine. You know, a few years ago we had what would come under pestilence with that whole COVID thing. If you understand the meaning of those words and their origin in the Greek and in the Hebrew, like a microscopic disease like that's pestilence. So we had that. Regardless of how the enemy's working to come up against us, that's not the issue. We have expectation that you'll hear us and help. The pride of man says, I don't need any help. I don't need any help. Reality is, we all need a whole lot of help. And sometimes you need more help than others. Man hates feeling helpless. Well, if you think you don't need any help and you don't need the Holy Ghost, he's called our helper. You don't need much Jesus in your life, do you? I mean, maybe he'll give you a hand up out of this earth to heaven. No, that's not how it works. He's our help, and we are to depend upon him in everything, for everything. He's our all in all. He says, now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession that thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither, and here's what I want you to really look at here. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. There are times when you're in a battle, you don't know what to do. That makes the natural man very uncomfortable and insecure. We are very conditioned to trust in ourselves, our own action. Well, if I do this, things will be better here. If I do that, then that'll make us better over here. We need to do the right thing, not just do something. God doesn't bless just doing something. He blesses you as you do the right thing. Or in other words, we're walking in the truth that would be applicable to that situation. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. Now, as our eyes are upon the Lord, we don't have to be afraid of this situation, not knowing what to do. Some people think, well, I'll just get online. It'll tell me what to do. I mean, really, that's how it is today. People think they can just access knowledge. I'll find out what to do. Do this or do that. But that's all a man's words. At best. And if you trust in that, well, I can just get knowledge. I'll just tap, 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 click it in. Oh, now I know what to do. It's going to tell me what to do. You could get on and find there's 10 different opinions of what to do. And maybe one of them's right. Maybe none of them are. What to do? If you have man advising you, one of the things you're going to encounter is eventually you'll have people say things that conflict with one another, that are diametrically opposed, somebody's wrong. Maybe everyone. So it's not just in doing stuff. You need to do the right thing. We need to know what to do. What's the God thing to do? And when we just do stuff, when we react, we generally make everything worse. We're adding that on top of everything else. Not getting to the root and the solution. We're adding to the problem, making it worse. And what happens, people's problems and battles become like a forest fire. You can't even see where it started. It's just blazing out of control. And then people get overwhelmed and are tempted to quit or allow discouragement in, where they're going to just lay down and quit, lay down and die, give up, run away. Many will run away. That's a form of quitting. So he states their situation about being surrounded by these enemies. He doesn't deny their existence. Faith is not saying there's no problem. That's not faith. That's denial. We don't operate in denial. We can clearly state the problem. Now, we don't want to dwell on it, and that's all we say. We need to preface all of that with God, who God is and what he's done. And that needs to be the primary focus. But with that in the one hand, we can look at that which needs to be changed, that which is coming from the enemy to bring destruction and bondage, and look to God to bring the exact word that we would need for the victory. Then all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Thereupon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. So he traces that lineage back. He was a man of God. They were recognized as having walked in the anointing. It was being passed down generation to generation in terms of learning to walk in the Spirit. This is a man who could be trusted concerning hearing from God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him in the midst of the congregation. We need to position ourselves to hear and wait till the Spirit of the Lord manifests himself. I'm going to say more about that in a moment, but I just want to emphasize again the positioning. The virtue of the fast is to eliminate every distraction. To as much as possible, focus all of your attention on Jesus, on him. Minimize your distractions. Again, you're not, well, I'm going to do this and I'll twist God's arm. He'll owe me one because I didn't eat lunch today. Wow, heaven's very impressed. You didn't eat lunch today. Jesus went to hell, carried your sin upon himself, and he's supposed to be impressed if you didn't eat lunch today? No, it's not that at all, but rather to minimize all distraction. Your belly can be a distraction. The things of the natural, the things you like to do. Isaiah 58 speaks of that, of God's chosen fast and of the Sabbath, that you don't seek your own pleasures at that time. Why? It's a distraction. It's going to hinder you from hearing from God. Sometimes people, they think they can just say a prayer in 5 minutes and an answer should come. And they, many times people that do that, the thing they think God's saying is out of their own head. Because they're thinking about it. See, I need to come to the place, or I purpose to come to the place, I'm not thinking about my problem. I'm not thinking about anything but him. That's why I love just to worship the Lord and he speaks to me. Pray in the Spirit. Worship the Lord. Many times the answer comes when I'm not really thinking about it. I'm not really, I'm just thinking about him, just relaxing in him. Relaxing in Jesus. That's why many times it's in the middle of the night. Generally, I mean, for me, I'm relaxed when I sleep. Some people, it's like bad dreams or whatever, but that's not the case for me. So God's wake me up, speak to me. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying there. I'm not doing a thing. Positioned for the Lord to speak. I'm not trying to tell him to speak. I'm just in position. He wants to speak to you. He wants to bring the word to you that you need. But can you hear it? Can you hear that word? So here the Spirit of the Lord begins to move. He says, "Hearken ye all Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." The Lord will be with you. Now, in these verses, there are three of the gifts of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy. Prophecy is spoken just speaking by the Holy Spirit, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not out of your own head. Speaking by inspiration. But prophecy, according to 1 Corinthians, will edify, exhort, and comfort. That's what it will do, the simple gift of prophecy. So that the prophetic word in the sense of he is encouraging them that God is with you, he will fight for you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be overwhelmed. God will be with you. He will defeat the enemy for you. The battle's not yours. So that's an encouragement to them. The word of knowledge where God says to them exactly, precisely where the enemy is going to be. Now, the word of knowledge, or knowledge, the knowledge of God, pertains to everything past, present, and future. That's where it speaks of Jesus being the God who was and is to come. The past, present, and future. That covers it all. And the word of wisdom is a word of what to do. Now, you have wisdom in some areas where you know what to do. There are many things you know what to do. But there are sometimes situations you don't know what to do, as they found themselves. We're surrounded, we're outnumbered, we don't know what to do. God, you're going to have to show us. So, you should continue to draw upon wisdom, gain wisdom, but then as you're continuing to encounter where you don't know, Jesus is your wisdom. As it says 1 Corinthians 1:30, he is made unto us wisdom where we have access to the answers. We have access to the one who is the answer, has the answer, and will direct us in how to handle a situation. So we have the manifestation of these three gifts. God says, the battle's not yours, don't be dismayed. God's going to be with you. We have the word of knowledge, the enemy will be right here, and he'll be destroyed. And in the word of wisdom, what you're going to do, you're going to go into the battle. You're going to go in, you're going to walk right in there, and God's going to beat them for you. So Jehoshaphat takes that and appoints singers. Now that's not something people in choirs generally sign up for. You're going to go before the army. But that was what he told them to do. Sometimes the instruction of the Lord could even seem a little crazy. But it's not for us to reason, but rather to obey, to believe and obey, and to walk that very thing out. The battle's not yours. Now, when trouble comes, when a threat comes, the Bible shows there's three possible responses. One is to flee. There were various times in the Bible people in that situation were instructed to flee, like Joseph and Mary, for example, instructed to flee. There are times that they stand and fight. You have like David destroying Goliath. Now the whole nation could have picked up and fled, ran. No, but here he runs to the giant and destroys him. He fights. So there's times to fight. And it's a very controversial thing over the ages. Is it wrong for Christians to go to war or to fight? Well, there's times there's a fight. And I'd heard before there was even used to be documents what makes for a justifiable war. But that's something for someone's own conviction, to be worked out. But there are times the Bible clearly shows where people literally need to fight. If someone were to invade your home, threatening to kill or hurt or injure your family, you're going to have a choice like this. Do we flee? Do we fight? Or we just stand there? Which is option number three, to stand. There is not a one-size-fits-all, here's what you do. The Spirit of God could direct any one of those three responses. The important thing is that we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit to know what He is saying we need to do. Sometimes in life, you've got to fight and hold your ground. In this fight for the soul of our nation, we've got to fight. We can't just pretend we're at war. I marvel just in the last couple weeks, this whole thing of kill the Jews on college campuses. You know where that came from? Well, Satan, but it came from the money of the demons over there. Follow the money. Follow the money. All this crazy stuff going on, you'll find somebody's getting paid off, making a lot of money. And their name might begin with a B in some cases, but a whole lot of people. The corruption, the evil. It says in 1 Timothy that the love of money is a root of all evil. The word all there means many kinds of evil, not every single evil. But it's in the love of money. Much of wars and things of that nature, the corruption, proceeds right out of that. And we're at this high degree of that. Even here in our country, we used to think that, it couldn't happen here. It's just other countries. It's bad here and anywhere. Because we're in the end times. And there's a war for the soul, the people. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy the very glory of God for which man, believers, were ordained to walk in and to carry forth into this life. Flee, fight, or stand. We need to hear from God. You can't just set up, here's how I'll do it. I'll always do this. No, we've got to hear from Him. So the gifts of the Spirit were in operation here. God has a supernatural provision expected. A supernatural provision to guide and direct you through the greatest tragic moment, the greatest battle, the greatest war you would fight. Expect the Holy Spirit's ministry to lead and guide you. Because as He speaks to the situation, there is a strength to come out of that that you can lay hold of and boldly go into it, believing you will have the victory. Going through it in peace. The battle's not yours, but the Lord's. For them, He says here, you don't need to fight in this one. Just position yourself to see me work, to see the salvation of the Lord. Position yourself. What is that position? It's a position of faith. I'm just going to stand and trust you to bring this victory about. And what happened here, and it's a few other times in the Bible, where these people set ambushments and destroyed each other. The enemy will bring self-destruction. So they go into the battle, praising God, believing they already have the victory. It says they begin to worship the Lord. If the Lord speaks to you, hold that in high regard. Worship Him. Honor Him. I thank you, Jesus. You are my source. My eyes are on you. I'm hearing from you what to do. I go forth in faith and confidence in you. Down here, a few verses. Hear me, O Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. When the word of the Lord comes, when God speaks to you what you need to do in the situation, you have a choice. Now you have a choice. Oh, it's so wonderful he spoke. But now I have a choice. And that is to either believe God and be established in that word. Believe God and prosper or see the victory. Or allow reasoning and unbelief. Unbelief to what he said. And continue to look to man, to continue to fret, to worry, to be dismayed. We have to make that choice. Lord, I put my faith in you. I put my faith in you. Over the years in traveling to many nations and some very, very poor that have very little hope, I found the greater number of miracles where people have nothing else. There's nothing to depend on. They have nothing but the hope from the word. And he lay hold of a miracle. Sometimes it's not till we come to the end of ourselves, our own ability, that we actually can experience the manifestation of the Spirit of God. We face this choice, believe in the Lord your God. So then they begin to praise him. I was rejoicing. We were singing a song that actually comes out of this verse. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Praise you, Lord, for your mercy endures forever. Oh, yeah. So they begin to praise him for his mercy continues. They begin to sing and praise, and the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir. The enemy destroyed himself. And they made, they went forth and had taken out of the stuff that was left behind. And we see the principle there, that what Satan means for evil, God can turn for good. When you go through a battle, God can bring you out the other side stronger than before. He can bring you out with greater blessing. You have like Job come out on the other end with twice as much as before. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found in abundance riches with the dead bodies. Jewels. Took 3 days to gather all the wealth. What Satan meant for evil, God turned for good. They believed the prophetic word and prospered. They believed and got the victory. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves and they blessed the Lord. They all returned from Judah, every man of Judah and Jerusalem. They returned to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord made them to rejoice over their enemies. As the Lord brings us through the victory, we need to be sure and be certain that we return and give him the praise. I listened to Brother Dale when I was in the hospital share here last week, and he brought that point out. Well, here I'm bringing it out again. It is incumbent upon us to return and worship and praise him. You don't need some fresh motivation to come and worship him. It's who he is and what he's already done for you. He's delivered you. What has he done for you? He saved you from sin. He defeated Satan. He's provided a way for us in the wilderness. So through whatever we would pass through, he's made a way for us and a provision for us through it all. And we need to return praising him with joy, rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in the victory. We should never allow that to weaken in us. We need to continue to hear of what the Lord has done. I don't look for new revelations. I look for the Jesus I know when I read the Bible. I look to see him and who he is to me and in my life each and every day. Then I'm in position. I can see some new things, but it's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking just to see him. Because as I behold the Lord and remember him and what he's done and rejoice, the fruit of the Spirit's going to spring forth out of my soul. The joy of the Lord, the peace of God, the love of God is going to just spring forth. And I like how Alan said that today. I will be satisfied. 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 I don't have to pursue anything in the flesh. Satisfied. Satisfied being right here. Satisfied with my times to go to heaven. Satisfied wherever I'm walking through. I have what I need. My life's rich. My life's full. Hallelujah. So they return with joy and praise him. I'd like the worship team to come back up. And we need to sing this. Praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Your mercy and Father, you've been merciful to each and every one of us. You've given great blessing to us. You've given us eternal life. Father, I pray right now for whoever doesn't know what to do concerning a situation in their life. Lord, as they position themselves to hear your voice in your faithfulness, Lord, they shall hear you speak because you are a faithful God to lead us and guide us. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, however the answer may come, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, prophetic word, the vision, the dream, in our still small voice, quiet time, hallelujah. We have full expectation that you will lead us and guide us in the name of Jesus. So we praise you, Lord, your merciful Father, hallelujah. Oh, you ready, guys? Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise him together.